Anytime you get into a relationship and someone has kids, you have to understand in most cases they come along as part of the package. But what do you do when you realize that you may not be cut out to be the greatest step parent?
It's a sticky, tough situation and a fine line to walk, and I've walked it myself. We'll explore that next.
On today's episode of My Crazy Family.
My
crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My
crazy
family.
I've walked it myself, too. I have some fine stories to share. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. Go to crazyfampod.com and share your crazy family story with us, or call 833-272-9326. And right now, a chance for you to get a $500 Amazon gift card for doing a very simple task, correct?
Yeah, all you have to do is leave us a review, take a screenshot of it, send it to contest@crazyfampod.com, and you'll be entered in to win a $500 Amazon gift card.
Yeah, check that out and get in on that. We'll try and get that knocked out here before the holidays. So it'd be a nice little extra to pick up some stuff with. I think I personally would end up buying a large cheese box from Swiss Colony that is in Wisconsin. It's a company.
Are they still around?
I still get the catalogs.
Do you?
I do. I still get the cat, and they haven't changed. I think the photography is circa like 1978 on most of the pictures, and the cheese boxes that you get are still circa 1978. When everyone, now back in the day, children, all of 3 or 4 years ago, people used to work in offices. And
yes.
And they would go to work, and there'd be a thing called a coffee bar. And those coffee bars would sometimes be filled, especially around the holidays, with like little bonuses and little extra things of food and drink and whatnot. So I used to actually buy it for Audio Boom, which is the company that hosts our podcasting and brings in our advertising and all of that. And the sales team is all there. And they used to be in a building in New York. And every Christmas, I would buy the giant, crazy big box that they have. And it was, I've never actually seen it because I've never stepped foot in the office, but I would get this giant one that's probably like the size of a large screen television. And then they would put it on the, you know, like the coffee bar, and everybody would, you know, get their stuff. And they always thank me because they're like, no other podcasts do this for us. I'm like, well, you bring me my income, so thank you. But now, wow. Now everybody works from home. So it's like, maybe I need to like send smaller gift boxes. I didn't know what to do the last 2 years because of COVID. So I don't know. I got to start looking it up. I just got my catalog the other day. If you're looking for a truly 1970s cheese box experience, they're the people for you.
Well, and I like their pictures, and I like that they're so old because it brings you this feeling of nostalgia that we just don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, I was just so amazed by this concept of a cheese box. I had never seen one before. My parent, the first time I saw it, again, we were just talking about Wausau off the air. The first time I ever saw a cheese box, it was given to my parents at a wedding there where you live in Wausau. We were visiting, and it was from my aunt to my parents, and it was, you know, had like the saltwater crackers and the, you know, cheese that's not really cheese, all that stuff in it. I'm like, this is like a feast. Oh my gosh, this little can of ham, that's amazing. And I was I was blown away. All of the fake greens and everything in there. That was at the, I think the hotel's still standing. Years ago, it was a Howard Johnson. And before that, I don't know what it is now, but there was like a little restaurant. It's very old looking.
It's
like
gone, Tony. It's gone? Now a Hilton. They ripped it down and built a Hilton.
It was right by the highway.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay. It's not the round one. It was
They ripped that down, and it had a really good restaurant. I love that restaurant. Yes. It was kind of a Cracker Barrel-ish.
Yes. Yes. Didn't they have like green carpeting? I just remember it being very green in there, and it was like 1970s shag type green going on in
100%,
there.
100%, yes.
And the rock walls, it was very, very classic, very Wisconsin supper clubby. But yeah, I remember that, and there you go.
Yeah, it's gone. It's such a Emma Crumbies.
Emma Crumbies, yeah.
Emma Crumbies, that's what it was called. Oh my God, I can't believe I just thought of it. But the food was amazing there. Mm-hmm. and they ripped it down. Yeah, it used to be a Howard Johnson's. They ripped it down and built a Hilton in its spot.
It's probably time. Didn't they have like wasn't like a Holiday Inn at one point, and there was like a Holodome attached to it, or was that a different one?
That was a different one. Okay. I don't recall that.
Okay. I just remember swimming there and thinking, oh, this is amazing. This is quite a vacation for us to go stay overnight at a hotel for one night. That was quite a deal as a child. And I just remember thinking, this is an amazing hotel. So these are the things that, you know, people like remember, like childhood memories. Like, I remember my first home run. I remember my first this or that. I remember my first cheese box, kids. My first cheese box. And that's the memories I hold dear. Why I am the way I am today. So what do we got going on with family stuff on our
fun episode? All makes sense now, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Our first story. My parents announced that they want to have a family vacation. My grandparents gave each of their kids a check for Christmas, and our parents were supposed to give us grandkids our portion of that check. My parents never did that and instead saved it all in hopes of having a family vacation. However, the only thing this money covers is lodging, because my mom refuses to stay in anything less than 4 stars, even though you can find really nice 3-star hotels for a lot less. My mom really wants to do a week in Hawaii. We are then responsible for all food, flights, activities, and spending. Here's a little background. My parents are still married, and both of my brothers are married. They are all dual income families earning between $200,000 and $400,000 per family. I am single. I have no boyfriend or children, and while I do earn a decent living for my age, I am far from the amount they earn. I'm not complaining, nor am I jealous, because I understand there are 2 incomes per family where mine is just one. However, 2 incomes can afford a lot more than just 1 income. My parents and siblings can easily do a vacation in Hawaii, whereas it would be hard for me. Mm-hmm. Everything there is so much more expensive, and I know my family. They have expensive taste. And yeah, I like to indulge on occasion, but I cannot afford to vacation at their level. Now, I explained this to my family and offered several alternative locations that have a lot to do, but are much more affordable for everybody. I was then met with, oh, come on, what expenses do you actually have to not be able to afford this? Oh, you just have to save for it, or it's not that expensive. We're paying for your lodging. I again tried to explain that I don't spend that much on vacations because I want to live within my means and not use my entire savings just on a trip. I have financial goals I want to reach, and I won't reach them if I use all of my savings on a vacation. I was met with, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, like we can never do it again. End of story.
I think if you don't want to go and you don't want to put that money there, there's nothing wrong with that. You're being financially responsible. Don't go. And, you know, if they're going to keep guilting you, you know, just stop talking about it. Just say, look, I'm not going to go. And I mean, unless one of you are able to help me cover these costs, then I'm not going. But I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying I can't afford to right now. Maybe, and you're not doing it with the intention of mom and dad, you know, suddenly jumping in going, oh, we'll cover you. You're just doing your thing and you're not asking for it. You're just stating facts. And there's nothing wrong with being fiscally responsible, especially when you're young. It's so easy to get pressured into this or that. And sometimes people don't realize, well, yeah, they can't afford this or that. Well, they should, but they don't. And you're being responsible and they're being them. Everybody, when it comes to finances, everybody's in such different boats. And we shouldn't be sitting there having to justify why we are or aren't doing something. Nobody needs to know what's in those bank accounts. And if you're being responsible, then good. You're an adult too. I mean, so it's not like we're talking 6th grade family vacation and you're staying home because your allowance doesn't cover, travel. You're an adult. You don't necessarily need to go on vacation with your family every time they go on vacation as an adult.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing to remember, too, and you can attest to this because I know you recently went to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It is not cheap.
It's not. But you know what? It was less expensive than I expected it to be. As far as stuff goes. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a cheap vacation at all to get like the hotel, you know, and the flight that was expensive. But when it came to eating out, when it came to going to the grocery store, honestly, maybe a little bit more, but we also went at the time this last summer where inflation was everywhere. So I don't know if, like, you know, all the inflation back in the mainland had spiked up so much that then Hawaiian prices really couldn't go much higher.
Right. Well, that's probably true.
Or what? But I mean, I walked into a Walmart there one day on an island because I wanted to get a new pair of swimming trunks. And I just kind of walked around for a minute because I was curious about that exact topic and that exact statement that a lot of people make of everything's being so much more expensive. And I'm sure there is a truth to it. But honestly, just walking around, prices that I saw at that Walmart did not look that much different than at home. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are some places, the restaurants we ate at, some were really nice, some were really not. They were just, you know, kind of local, you know, hole in the wall, you know, fresh shrimp. The prices were really not that different than like a food truck that was around here or any really place in the country. So I don't know. I didn't feel that crazy burden of price on stuff, but yes, lodging, getting there, that's where it ain't going to Ohio or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you wanted to do anything there, if you want to take a tour or you deep sea fishing, that's not cheap.
Those things, yes, those things are expensive. So if you're going on excursions, yes. And I guess maybe that's where people come in and say it's really expensive. Sure, if you're going to do all those sort of things, yes, that certainly does add up. But if you're not, if you're just going to the beach every day, which you could easily do, other than getting there and your lodging, it doesn't have to be that expensive, quite honestly, if you are smart with your money. You could really get away, go to Walmart, get your snacks and pack a cooler and drive to 10 different beaches in a day, and it's not going to be that bad.
Well, that's the thing is you want to go to a grocery store or a Walmart, someplace like that, and get your snacks so that you're not spending $30 per meal per person somewhere just for lunch.
And there's ways of doing it. I don't know. I've always been very good at managing money and living frugally, even when I don't need to anymore. But I still live frugally for the most part. But when I, you know, want to go and do something special, it's worth it. And I'll spend the money to do it. But for the most part, you could manage that pretty good. I feel like I should do a podcast on living within means because I'm good at it. And I've gone from making next to nothing and still living a very happy, fulfilling life. You can do it. You can make it work. It's just you got to think a little bit about where those dollars go and how to make the most of things, if you will. There's hacks. There's tons of hacks to life.
Absolutely. And, you know, back to our story, I think it kind of makes me sad that her family doesn't like look at her as a great example that, you know, she's doing things on her own and just really doesn't want to go. And that's okay. Like if they really, really want her to go and they make that kind of money, then pay for her shit.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, someone, or say I'll loan you the money. And if you want to pay us back, great.
Sure. I think something like that, if you really want them to go and you're the one that's, you know, proposing the trip, then and they can afford it, then pay for them. If you think it's so important and you have the money to do it, then do it. Or just do the thing. Like if you can't afford it right now, that's fine. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's you're living life and it's part of adulting, if you will.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. All right, on to our next one. My family makes fun of me for the silliest things. Over the summer, everyone thought it was hysterical that I wore a lot of bright colors. There's a little typo here. Or they call me a museum snob because I enjoy visiting all kinds of museums. Like that's supposed to be an insult. Well, now that it's pumpkin season, that's finally rolled around, I enjoy a pumpkin coffee and a muffin every once in a while. I also love to enjoy all the fall flavors, but for some reason now they keep hating on me for enjoying these fall flavors. And I told them I don't understand all this hate. I don't think it's funny. They persist with calling me pumpkin brat, basic bitch, etc. And they'll even go so far as to post things on my Facebook wall proclaiming hatred for anyone who likes pumpkin. And I'm just highly annoyed by all of this. I really like pumpkin. But my actual favorite apple is apple cider. I don't think I'm being overly dramatic here. I don't think this is very funny. Why do people like to hate on others who like pumpkin?
Because if you'll notice throughout the rest of the year, they're also hating on every single other thing that brings people joy because they are very empty inside. Anybody?
You know, you might be onto something there because, yeah, it's a seasonal thing. It's kind of a trendy thing. It's kind of an excitement thing. People, I mean, you even talked about it in one of our podcasts that, you know, as soon as the pumpkin flavor was released, you went to one of the big stores and to get something.
Well, my daughter drugged me there because she loves it. But I also didn't say, oh, you're a pumpkin bitch, because number one, that'd be very inappropriate to say to your 10-year-old. But number two, it's something fun. It's something that brings some joy in this dark, fucked up world that we're living right? in. Why do we need to criticize? I saw a meme about this morning, actually, on the, you know, wake up, take a shit, look at your phone moment. And and it was a meme, something to the effect of, the world would be a much happier place if we could all agree to not hate on people who like pumpkin, who like to decorate for Halloween early, who like to put up their Christmas tree early, who like to do just like simple things that bring them joy that maybe not everyone else does, but clearly does not negatively affect anybody. But people always have to sit there and kind of be, you know, the Nancy of the neighborhood and be like, well, they don't need that. You need to have more of this, more of that. And my fucking family is like that. My fucking mom is like that. And it's been my whole life hearing those criticisms of this and that. And well, that's why are they doing this? Why are they? It's like, just shut the fuck up. Who cares? Who the fuck cares? And you know what? And so a lot of my life, I'm like, well, you don't do that yet because of this or that. And then I realized, you know what? You can do whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter what your mom thinks about it or what she views as the right time for this or that. You know, it may be questionable if you're putting your Christmas tree up on the 4th of July and putting literal Christmas decorations. It may be, you might want to talk to somebody. But if you're putting it up and you're putting like 4th of July decor on it or something, you're having fun. You're making them. I've thought of doing that. I've thought of like making the tree year round and changing it to like Easter. But I just put my Christmas tree up and it's all fall. And we're going to put Christmas stuff on it later. Why? Because I like my tree. It makes the house feel warm and inviting and it just looks good. And I like that kind of ambient light. So I'm going to enjoy it for more than 30 days. I'm going to enjoy it for 4 months. And there's nothing wrong with doing those sort of things. There's nothing wrong with liking pumpkin spice lattes or fucking if you want candy cane in March, have it. But there's just always this thing in people where they're unhappy. And it has nothing to do with you liking pumpkin spice. It has nothing to do with you like them put a Christmas tree up. It has everything to do with their void of happiness. And the only thing that they can latch onto is someone else finding little bits of joy here and there that they are not finding. So they want to pull you down to their level so they feel better about themselves for that fleeting moment. Well, then you sit there and go, well, maybe I shouldn't show that I like pumpkin so much. Or maybe I shouldn't, you know, do these things that maybe not everybody does. Fuck that. Do whatever you want. Fuck the world.
Whatever gives you joy, as long as it's not hurting somebody else.
Exactly. And
just, you know, if you're actually having a pumpkin spice latte or whatever the fuck it is you want to have, that is your business.
Yes.
100%. And I'm all about, like, in July, I'll listen to Christmas music. Sure. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it out in the backyard and my neighbors, poor guys, they're wonderful people, but I know I annoy the shit out of them. Sometimes I like the music. It's not that I want to get into the holiday season, but some of the music is good.
It's a sound, it's music. It puts you mentally in places and almost triggers you in a good way. And if that's something that can pull you into a positive space when you're not feeling the greatest, the people who want to hate on that, the best thing they can do is find something that does that for them. And that, because ripping other people down for that, that's how so many people are. And it's amazing that things like this aren't taught, that things like this aren't more instilled in people, that it has to be some sort of realization later in life. Like, this is just common fucking sense once you figure it out, that it doesn't matter what other people think. Do whatever you want. As long as, like you said, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, it's not becoming a big issue to someone else or standing in someone's way of something. If it's just for you and you like it, do it. Who cares?
Absolutely. Do you remember when we first went into lockdown? It was like the second or third week of March 2020. Mm-hmm. I subscribed to Sirius XM Radio. They put on Christmas music. Yep. They brought their Christmas channel back because mm-hmm. people were fucking depressed.
And so did Lifetime. Lifetime started doing movies.
They're like, let's find whatever makes people happy and just flood the market because people are just terrified. So if whatever makes you happy, mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah. That you live once and not everything has to fall into the specific track that, the marketing world will say does, or your mom or your family or whatever. Do what makes you happy. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Again, not destructive, not harmful to you. Those are the things that should be celebrated, not torn down. It's like, yeah, she could also be fucking drinking a fifth of vodka every night too. But you know right? what? But they'd rather have pumpkin spice because that's a little healthier and it makes them feel happy. And yeah, I hate that shit. Because I don't know. I'm very selective on what I criticize and what I poke at in regular life. You know, when we're on the show, it's what we do. But it's like, because why? There's very little that honestly there's a lot that needs criticism, but a lot of things that actually go through our daily routines that need it, that are just people doing their thing. Why do you fucking care? Why?
Let people find their joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a simple thing to live by that would be making the world a happier place. I completely agree with that meme.
Absolutely. I do too. Our next story, it says, I've tried. I really have, but I don't know how much more I can handle. I just feel so disrespected and I feel like I'm just along for the ride. About 7 months ago, I agreed to let my fiance move in with me. When we're together, we're great. It's all great. But every other weekend when we get his kids, it is hell. Right now, I'm sitting in my car writing this and crying because I don't want to go home. It's my home and I hate it now because at the same time, it's not my home either. His kids have no respect for me or my place or my things. There's zero discipline and actions don't have any consequences. Every time we get them, we end up having the most horrible fights over his kids and their behavior. His daughter is 5 and she feels that no rules apply to her. She will not do what she's told and will not pick up when you ask her to. She lies like crazy and likes to play manipulating games to get her way. This kid's only 5.
I had caught one her like at that. These
things, and when I try to correct her or punish her, I'm told I'm being too harsh and yelled at. And he doesn't want his kids to be yelled at, and he doesn't want his kids to come over to see him because I'm making them hate it there. I don't think I'm being unreasonable by taking away toys or TV time for lying and not doing what she's told. Now, when I push the issue, she will scream and cry until her father tells her, that was a bad thing you did, baby, and then gives in to her and gives her back what I took away. That's how he handles it. Because of him doing this, they don't listen to me at all now. I can tell them to pick up their clothes out of the living room and take it to their room where it belongs, and they just laugh and ignore me. This child, if she doesn't like what she's given for dinner, she will spit it across the table at me. I have no words.
No, and this sort of shit happens. Let's finish through the story because I'm highlighting a lot of stuff here that we can go back to and kind of break down.
Holy shit. Okay, so she spits on my table. I asked, does she do this at home? No. So why is she doing it here? I told him about it and he tells me to let him handle correcting his kids. He has a method with them and to be patient, but it's been 7 damn months and no change. His 12-year-old son throws tantrums when he doesn't get his way either. I took away the internet because he wasn't listening. And this kid called his mother to tell me to turn it back on for him. Oh my God. What annoys me the most is my fiance's treatment of me when it comes to them. I have no say of anything in my own house. It's a 3-day weekend here, and we had agreed that he would take the kids back on Sunday, as agreed, as Tuesday we would have an apartment inspection, followed by my fiance's mother and sister staying with us next weekend. We agreed that the kids would go back on Sunday so we can start cleaning up that night and not be going crazy trying to do it all day Monday, as I have to work on Tuesday. We agreed to this. Friday, I come home and he tells me he's decided to keep the kids until Monday night and that he already cleared it with their mother. But what about me? We had an agreement. I didn't agree to that. I'm supposed to clean up after all of them by myself while he's at work. He assured me that he would take care of it. Well, I was sick last night. I came home and went right to bed. I woke up to my house completely trashed. Kids' clothes from my bathroom, dining room, living room, DVDs thrown all over my living room, dishes and cups all over my brand new couch. Last night's dinner and plates still sitting on the table. My kitchen had food and Kool-Aid spilled all over it, dishes piled high in the sink and trash overflowing onto the floor. The five-year-old decided to rip open a bean bag and drag it all over the house so there's styrofoam all over the place. I told them if it's not cleaned up by the time I get home from work, I want them all out. I have had it to the point that I don't care anymore. I've tried being nice. I've tried being polite. I have asked for what I would like done, and it doesn't matter to anybody. I don't want to go home because I don't want to see what's waiting for me. He is so worried about his kids not wanting to come over, and I'm to the point that I don't want any of them there. This is my home, a place I used to love, and now I just hate it there. So here I am sitting here parked at a reservoir park because I don't want to go to my home because they are there, and I'm not sure I can do this.
And,
holy shit.
Yeah. And I think right away, you know, the thought that she's wouldn't be a good stepmother, or is this a husband, or is this a fiance? Okay. It's not that you would be a bad stepmother. It's that your co-parent there of the child is not parenting.
Right.
And when you're trying to parent, he disciplines you for trying to step in. Now, kids are going to be kids. Kids are going to act out in all sorts of different ways. Some are great. Some are going to act out in all sorts of different ways. It doesn't excuse their behavior, but it needs correction. And that's where he needs to step up and do it if he's not going to allow you to make an attempt at it. And if he's cutting you down when you're trying to make an attempt at it in front of them, that just tells the kids that your opinion doesn't matter. So he's not helping the situation at fucking all. Ultimately, he's going to need to step up here and get this shit under control. And I'm sure this woman will be patient if she starts to see that he is stepping up and making progress and at least making an attempt, which it sounds like he's not really making an attempt at all. He's living in fear of what the ex is going to say about the kids coming over to the house. So he doesn't want to rock the boat because he's scared of the custody type thing or something of that nature, which many parents do. They end up totally fucking up their kids because they don't want to make them upset that they're going to say, I want to go live with the other parent.
Exactly.
Rather than being a good parent and having them naturally just love and respect you because you're being a good parent and showing them love and showing them good times and showing them discipline when needed, it can be done. I live it. It works good. But sometimes there are just kids that are fucking living hell. And they're not going to respect you. But the other parent needs to step up. And if they don't eventually, then yeah, you do have to say, I can't do this anymore. And yes, these kids come with that person. And in no way, shape, or form would I ever ask a significant other to like get rid of your kids. I don't want to be around your kids. No, those kids need to be there and they need their parent, assuming the parent's is not an abusive parent. But that parent that needs to start parenting, and if they're not going to, and their style is never going to allow them to, and they won't do it, then yes, you need to say, I got to move on because I can't live like this, for your own mental health.
Back to this kid spitting the food across the table.
How that's accepted by the other parent is baffling. That should be immediately corrected. These kids sound like they are going out of their way to make life hell. Maybe they don't like the person. Maybe they are trying to break them up. This does happen where, and they, you know, they're kids, but they're not always so innocent. They have their own thoughts and feelings. I know I could be a conniving child too. I never like tried to break my parents up or anything, but there are certainly children, and especially in divorce type situations where, yeah, they don't like you. They'll do what they want to, and they don't care because they're kids. And when you're a kid, you're kind of a narcissist no matter what.
Oh yeah. It's all about me, 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 me.
Yeah. But I had a stepdaughter that was like this, and it was a fucking living hell for years. And it got to such crazy manipulation and lies that it was a big part in my marriage ending, a big fucking part of it.
Yep.
But I had to say at some point too, after it got really bad, and it wasn't just the stepdaughter that was doing it. The mom wasn't, you know, the discipline was either non-existent, or it was out of fear of the child leaving, or it was to the point of like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, totally extreme. And ultimately it was just, this is not going to work. And for the safety of myself and my daughter, I said, we're done. And it doesn't always have to go to that extreme, but there's clearly an issue there where there's no discipline going on. These kids are going to make your life a living fucking hell, and they're not going to change until they're out. And so if you want to live the next, you know, 15 or, you know, whatever it is, 10, 15 years in hell, go ahead, sign up, enjoy, just know you signed up for it. And at some point you get 10 years into that and you may go, I really should have gotten off this ride earlier. I would have been much happier, and maybe everyone would have been more happier. Instead of me trying to be the good parent, try to be the one that's going to bring some discipline and bring some sanity into this life. Cause you can do that for a while. You can hold on and you can be the leader, and you can really think you're making a difference. But at the end of the day, if the other parent's not doing their job or is incapable of doing their job, and the kids are going to be fucking terrors, you are just wasting a lot of energy there.
Well, I want to know too, she mentioned, does she do this stuff at home? Does that 5-year-old spit food out at home? Why is she doing it at my place?
If it's your place, you should have rules that they have to follow, period.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're going to turn off the internet, you're turning off the internet. Mom doesn't call and turn that internet back on. I took away cell phone from my stepdaughter because there was very inappropriate things going on that cell phone that I discovered, which were lied about and denied for fucking weeks, even though it was like right there. Every story in the book came up of like, someone hacked my phone, someone did this, someone did that. And you know, it's not true. This person's doing this. But you could never get through. It was like there's something mentally wrong here that they're holding on to this farce for so long. But I took it away. Guess who got a phone back from dad?
Oh, geez.
So it was like everything I would do to try and be, you know, disciplinarian in a, you know, helpful, kind, loving way and direction for a child just always got shit on. And it just got to the point of like, this is, you just bang your head against a wall at some point. If you're in a relationship with someone that has kids, you have to understand that dynamic and know what you're getting into and have clear rules set for both sides of how you're going to parent, because you can't have one parent that's parenting and the other's not. If they're living in the same room, if they're under the same house, those parents need to have equal amounts of respect from the kids. And it has to be earned, but it has to also be enforced by the other co-parent that doesn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, it just sounds like this situation is just, it's out of control. Mm-hmm. And there have been many opportunities to reel it in.
Yeah. And if they're not going to, they're not going to. Some people are fucking afraid of their kids. And I don't know, after that amount of time, I think you've seen a good example of what life will be like unless there's dramatic change. So you need to sit down. You need to sit down and talk to your partner and express all of this shit clearly and how dire it is, because they may not see how dire it is. It's not necessarily giving an ultimatum, but you need to say, look, I can't go on like this. We need to do something. You don't need to say, I'm going to leave you unless you do this, but just express, we can't go on like this. I can't mentally go on like this for my own mental health. I want to be a good parent and I want you to be a good parent, but I feel like right now these kids are out of control. What do we need to do to get a handle on this? And either a plan will be formed or they're going to say, oh, I got this. And if nothing happens, I'm sorry. Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I just don't see it going very well. And there's no support from the other parent either.
No.
And it's really hard to let go and let somebody else parent your kids. But if this person is trying to do a good thing, like I didn't want the internet on because things were not being done correctly at my house and we're trying to have some boundaries. And then mom just calls and says, turn that internet back on. You're not trying to help. You're just trying to be a hindrance. So this poor woman is not getting any help from anywhere. She's not getting it from her fiance. She's not getting it from the other parent. Mm-hmm. She is completely on her own.
Here's what you discover when you get out of a situation like that. And you meet somebody that is a good parent that does discipline their children, but they're in a positive way, but the children still respect the parent. You'll discover that you are a good parent, that you can be a good step parent, because not all children and not all parents act this way. If the predominant parent is doing their job and doing it well, you're going to discover some really good kids that can have a very good relationship with you. And it doesn't always have to be like this. It doesn't mean you are a bad step parent. You're the good one, actually. You're the one that would provide guidance and in the long run end up benefiting that child as they go into adulthood far more than what obviously dad or the other mom is doing. But unfortunately, if you are not given the opportunity to be that parent and they're actively preventing you from being that parent, stop hitting your head against a wall. Just stop, because you may have good intentions. I did. But if you can't and you're prevented from being the parent you want to be, then get the fuck out of there. If because you need to be there. You need to be a parent. You're not just going to be the roommate to the other person. And it's not worth the headache.
Yeah. And the signs are all over. It's going to be hard to kick the fiance out because it's her house. He moved in there.
Yeah.
But I think that needs to happen, that, you know, you need to reclaim your space and say, look, I've given you 7 months. I have made it clear that here's what I need. This is my house. It's going to be our house. But that also means that there needs to be some boundaries, and there are none.
Yeah.
So it's time. You got to go.
Either, you know, I'd say if you want, give another chance, but be very clear on it. Like, this is it. Like, I need to see this working. I need to see you doing this. And either, you know, maybe if they're into like reading about parenting and that sort of stuff, but that's what I did as when I became a step parent the first time, I started reading about parenting because I didn't have any kids of my own. So I tried to educate myself on like how to handle this, how to handle that. I mean, maybe some, and sometimes you just need that education because maybe you didn't have the greatest of guidance in your own life. But not a lot of people go to those depths of trying to do what's right. But maybe someone needs that. If they're open to that, open that can of worms up and just try something. But if not everybody is on board for this and not everybody's able to kind of make this work, then sorry. It's not going to, and it's going to be hell. And it's not always necessarily worth sitting there for 10 years living through hell.
No, or sitting in a cul-de-sac writing into a podcast because you don't want to go home.
Yeah. That's not any way to live.
Very telling.
Not any way to live. And your mental health is important, just as those kids is. But if you can't be a parent and it's just get the fuck out of there. But give it a chance. Express it clearly as fuck to him as what the problem is and try and find solutions. It's not open. You got to go. It's not fair. It's not, but it is what it is. So it's the dynamics of having children. And a lot of parents don't understand that. They don't.
It's not easy.
They're going to prioritize, you know, everything else above. And then you get into insane land. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you have a crazy family story, go to crazyfampod.com. and write it in there, or give us a call, 833-272-9326. It's 833-CRAY-FAM, if you spell it out. And we can hear your crazy family story that way. We would love to hear it. Until next time, for all of us at My Crazy Family, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Line.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
Line.
Crazy.
Family.